everybody who pitches, like, I mean, you know, like fourth, fifth inning, you're like, okay, there's no hits. But I think for me, like the big moment walking off after the seventh inning, like it was like my body, it almost went like numb. I don't know if numb's the right word, but it kind of like just took over.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. This is a special episode for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's episode 30, and that's a milestone. Second of all, we have Alec Mills with us from the beginning of the show, guest right away. I think because I promised a guest so many times that we didn't have one, that starting the show with a guest is only right.
For the record, Dakota and I get on Ian's case every week about a guest, and then he's like, oh shit, it's Saturday or it's Sunday, we have to record and we don't have a guest.
Well, why don't you bring a guest then?
I'm trying. I get crickets.
It's one of those things where Ian's going to be like, well, you guys can get guests. Who do we know, Ian? You tell me.
No, that's not true because we've brought up players before and nothing just comes up of it.
We can't get them. Ian can.
You can ask somebody on the Cubs.
Zach, you have a bunch of new friends on the Tigers.
That's right. Where's Miggy at?
Beats me. On his way to Kansas City or something? On his way to Minnesota?
Zach, how was taking BP in Tiger Stadium today, which is actually Comerica Park?
Tell you what, it wasn't a fluff BP session with that huge field.
Mills, did you pitch there?
I did pitch there, yes. How many homers did you hit to center in BP?
I don't even think I came close to the warning track. I'm not even joking.
It is.
And I think deep. I hit one or two, and it hit over the bullpen in left field, and they were it hit like the wall near the bullpen, and they were like, yeah, that's the old fence there. They just moved it in. And I was like, I mean, that's legitimately every ounce of power I have, and it wouldn't have gotten out of the old one.
Little weird brag that you hit a couple homers.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Off the back wall of the bullpen.
MVP, those count.
Oops, sorry about it.
Sometimes you got to fluff yourself, Zach. I appreciate it.
Do you go there when anyone else is there?
No. Today, I mean, they were off today.
Your team.
The Tigers are off today. So it was just five of us there. It was pretty cool, especially since it was my first time there. And then we walked around, got to know Detroit a little bit, got to see the Ford Field, you know, defend the Len for Meckes.
Defend the Den. That's right. That's home. OU, baby, right where we like to be. We got the league right where we want it.
Real quick, we made a bet last week, Dakota.
We did, but Ian, you can't tell me you're a Bears fan and make a bet on the Bears and then go on national TV and say, I'm actually a Browns fan, which is
I said I grew up. He was like, oh, you got to be a Steelers fan. I was like, oh, I grew up a Browns fan. And then
I've never heard that.
And then I said, now I'm a fake Bears fan. And we made the bet on the last episode and I won because the Bears won. And you owe me a bottle of Parse. Shout out Parse Rum. You owe me a bottle of Parse.
But I'm pretty sure I won the PGA one we did because I think Shoffley finished the best.
We're gonna have to do the math on that, and let's just wait until Mills is off so before we do the math. But you know who already has a bottle of Parse rum and a shirt from Cuts? Mills.
I do. Yeah. I do. It was a preemptive gift.
Preemptive strike. He couldn't refuse after I had already given him the gifts.
That's very true. And I also tried the rum. Very good, I will say.
Wow, did? You tried the rum?
I did, yeah.
Are you a rum drinker?
I mean, yes and no. I'll drink about anything, let's be honest.
And he got the 12-year, and you enjoyed it.
It was good, yes. It was good. I only had a little bit.
People are usually surprised by that rum. It's always good to hear the reactions. Dakota was pleasantly surprised. Guys, guess what?
Yes, Ian.
Mills threw a no-hitter.
He got lucky.
And it was amazing.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. That's what I always say.
I have to say, and I think we all talked about this because we recorded last week, right? We did on Sunday.
We did Saturday night.
You did on Sunday. I think we all had our like share of emotions on that day. I was pretty emotional because I was thinking back to last year. We all played together in beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. And I was thinking about Mills in Omaha.
You're going to bring that up.
This is a tough one to bring up. You're going to bring this up?
Yes. Because because this is what I was during the no-hitter. This is what I was thinking about like right after. And I almost started crying because I was thinking about Mills in Omaha last year giving up 800 dinker hits, like could not get an out.
Actually kind of an impressive outing though. I think I legit gave up 15 hits, only 5 runs.
Wait, was it at home?
No,
it was in Omaha.
At Omaha.
It was 15 hits and 5 runs in 5 innings. I was like, hey, that's kind of impressive. He only gave up 5 runs, honestly.
I remember the last hit before I came out was like...
It was Bubba Starling, right?
Bubba Starling. I think the exit velocity might have been 40 miles an hour, and it went into the four hole for a single.
And that was the kind of day you were having.
It just was.
Like, but it was to that point, the kind of season.
Yeah, it was rough.
And I think that was the last outing before everything kind of started to click. And I remember Mills in the dugout with the... Mills is like the nicest guy in the world, and he kicked the fan. This one of these big industrial fans. He kicked the fan twice out of anger and like let out like a, God, I can't catch a, like something like I can't catch a break or like some fresh, like the nicest way to be frustrated ever with a couple fan kicks. And that's all I could think about when he was, you know, coming down the stretch of the no hitter. And I got really emotional at the end of it.
Is that when the dumper really came out though? Was like after that?
I actually was going to bring that up. Maybe Dakota probably remembers more of actually the dumper story. Honestly, I don't even, people ask me and maybe like the beginning of that year, I kind of messed around with it. And then, yeah, towards the middle is when I really just started throwing it more. I don't know. Like,
and the dumper for all the fans, the dumper is the sub 70 mile an hour curveball.
And the best part is during the season last year, we would see how low you could get it.
Yeah.
I would scream from the bullpen to throw it slower.
Yeah. I was about to say, what did Mecca yell from the bullpen?
Because if it was like 68, I'm like, that's way too hard. Take it easy. It needs to be 64 to 66. I don't remember it like early in the year. I think like maybe you'd like mix it in like once or twice a game. But then like midway through the year when you started clicking, I think you started throwing it more frequently.
Well, I think like Hap said, it was just the point. I was like, I mean, what's it going to hurt if I try this? And so it was just, hey, well, let's not look back.
At what point during the no-hitter did you realize you were throwing a no-hitter?
I mean, I think like everybody who pitches, like, I mean, you know, like fourth, fifth inning, you're like, okay, there's no hits. But I think for me, like the big moment walking off after the seventh inning, like it was like my body, it almost went like numb. I don't know if numb's the right word, but it kind of like just took over. And it was like, holy crap. Like this might, like I'm pretty close to this happening. And I think I took a glance at like pitch count and I was like, and I have a decent chance of them letting me go the whole way. So then, yeah, that's when I was like, oh God, I had to go sit down and like take some deep breaths.
Is it weird though, like in that situation? Because obviously everybody's staying as far away as you, like as far away from you as possible.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was like, yeah, like sixth inning on. I don't even think anybody looked at me in the dugout, to be honest with you.
Are you trying to like keep it as normal as possible? Like,
yeah, no. So, in Milwaukee. So in Milwaukee, the locker room is literally like 6 steps from the dugout. So, like, I was going in after every inning and going to sitting at my locker for until one out was up. And yeah, I was just trying to do everything the same I have done all day and just trying to keep it normal. Like I do. I mean, I feel like you guys know, I try to stay pretty normal every start. Like I'm not like put headphones on, lock in, you know, don't talk to me kind of guy. But I mean, yeah, it was definitely just trying to keep it normal.
I was going to say, I was texting Zach and C-Ray, like the whole, I didn't even know what was going on, honestly, because we had practice like until like halfway through the game. And I saw on Twitter that you were like through 7 innings. I was like, what? I was like, how have I not heard about this? So then I turned it on and I was texting Zach and C-Ray. I was like, this is absolutely insane. Like we all had chills. Like we were all nervous for you. I can't imagine how nervous you were.
Honestly, just in between innings is when you were fighting it. Like when you guys know, like when you get out there and you start playing, like then everything kind of, like even the ninth inning, I think I kind of got the first pitch out of the way, Nottingham. I think it was a ball. And then after that, it was like, okay, like you're back to pitching. And then I think kind of pop out the next pitch. So that definitely helped getting a quick out in the ninth inning for sure. But yeah, I mean, just fighting. It's kind of funny. I was talking to Baker about it. Like it's almost one of those things where you kind of want to let that in, I think. The emotions of that helped. Like, I don't want to completely block out that there's a no hitter happening. Like, you know, let it in. Like, it's a cool moment. Even if it didn't happen, it's still a cool moment to be that close.
I was shitting my pants. In the seventh, this was a no hitter where we also scored 12 runs. So it wasn't like we were winning by a lot. It wasn't like it was a 2-0. Wasn't like a 2-0 game where you were completely and totally locked in on defense going like, I can't let anything fall. So I'm in the seventh inning. I think Billy Hamilton came in maybe the sixth. And so I moved over to left. And in the seventh, I'm kind of talking to the bullpen, like literally in between pitches, like with Noble talking about, we were talking about something. And, you know, couple of swings, look back. I looked up with like an out in the seventh and went, holy shit, there's no hits. Oh my God.
That seems like my reaction.
If there was a ball anywhere near you from the seventh inning on, you would have to take a Sousa dive and dive from center field to the left field line.
Every time there was a left-hander up, I was going, oh my God, I can't let anything fall in front of me. Because like at that point, especially 12-0, like if they rope a double off the wall, you're like, all right, that's the end of the no-hitter. But if there's a blooper that you don't get to by a step, you're walking off the field. You're done.
I think one of the coolest things, I saw you like answered it in a tweet or something, Bills, but how Rossi was going to take Jay Hay out and just kind of give him rest. And he said he wanted to stay in for it. I feel like that's sick that all the guys like stayed in all nine because they wanted to be a part of it.
So Hap talking about almost crying, like legitimately, like, so I had no idea. Obviously, I had no idea that happened, that transpired. But the media brought it up to me after the game and they said that like, yeah, that exact like, Rossi went up to Jay and he said, no, I'm riding until the end. And like, legitimately, I almost cried. Like, and Ian knows this too, but like, Jay Hay is like, he went out of his way when I got traded over to make sure, like, he came up and he knew me first and last name, like, shook my hand, like, hey, man, like, I'm Jason Hayward, like, welcome to the Cubs, like, happy to have you. And like, I mean, you know, every day he goes out of his way and says, hey, to everybody. And like, I just don't, like, that's the thing that people don't realize, like, it means so much. And like for him to say that, like I legitimately almost cried. I mean, I was definitely choking up
for a dude with, which he has 10 plus years now and plays every single day. Like obviously in a with the sixth inning, it was 9-0 in that sort of game. Like he wants to be off his feet. Like he's the dude that our longest, he's got the most service time position players. I think he's got Riz by like a year. Like he's the dude, like him and Riz are the first two guys you get off their feet. And for him to say no and like want to go back out there and be on the field, it's just a testament to how good of a teammate he is.
It's nice to have a multi-time gold glover stay in the game for you too, just in case.
Absolutely. You know, I funny story about that. So I was actually talking to Maben the next day about it, and he was saying like, he like was on the bench and kind of wasn't really paying attention, like you said, where he was like, it was like fifth or sixth inning. We were up like 9-0, 10-0. And he said, like, he was just kept sitting there. He's like, man, I really thought I was going to get a couple at bats this game. Like, I thought Jay Hay was going to come out.
Cam said he looked up in the ninth. He said he looked up in the ninth and went, oh my God.
He said Greeny came up to him and gave him like some like cryptic message about like, you know, like Jay Hay's staying in, but he may come out. But he's like, because Greeny didn't want to say anything, and Maben was like, what was that all about? And then he said he like took a minute and looked up and he was like, oh shit, that's what that's all about. Okay, that's why. Like,
I don't know if you've heard this one. I got another good one. Lester and Chatwood were at home because we were playing Milwaukee and they were getting their work in Chicago. So it was Sunday, right? So they're watching football. And they're going back and forth, you know, in the locker room, there's 100 TVs. So they're going, they have a TV on the game and a TV on football, and they're watching a lot of football. And the Cubbies are up.
Which is probably what I would have been doing.
Yeah, well, Cubbies are up 9-0 and then 12-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, the game's well in hand and they're watching football. And they look up, they get, I think one of them got a notification on their phone from like the MLB app, like no hitter watch. And they were like, holy shit. That was kind of the general reaction.
I think.
About the seventh, eighth inning for all of us.
And another funny one too. I think these are cool things that only the podcast has heard. But
that's right.
Kimbrel actually came up to me and same similar thing. He said he went out and what do they go out like fourth, fifth, sixth inning?
Five, six.
But he said he went out there and like, you know, casually. I mean, I think he's pretty loose most of the time until he needs to get going. But he said he was sitting out there and it was like seventh inning and he's like noticing like nobody's moved in the bullpen. Like everybody has stayed in the exact same spot. And he said, he's like, why is everybody locked in right now? Like somebody's going into the game soon. Like we need some work. And he's like, this is really weird. Everybody's still just locked in. And he said the same thing. He looked up and he was like, oh, that's why everybody's locked in. Like, it's pretty. So those are a couple of funny stories I thought were pretty cool.
And you,
that's one where if you're Kimbrel, you're almost like, do I have to go back into the locker room? Like
that's crazy, right?
No, I think you do everything you've been doing every time. So
I also like that's one where you call your mom after the game and you go, hey, Ma, I was just a part of like I was there for the no hitter. And I don't know if I'll ever get to do that again in my career. Like that was pretty awesome.
No matter how long you play, you might not have that chance again.
Dude, like I really don't think it still hasn't like sunk in yet fully. Like it's crazy. Going back out and pitching helped a lot because then I could get past that. It was like, I'm ready to pitch again. Like this was cool, but like I'm like
also
that gap between starts seemed like 800 days. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a really difficult start. Riz and I were talking about this before his last start, which was 2 days ago. So coming off, you went 8 shutout.
Yeah, and the no hitter was gone within the third batter. Yeah, so
you went 8 shutout, and then you went 9.
No
hitter,
six,
right?
6 shutout. Yeah,
you went 6 before.
Yeah, 6.
Okay, so the game before you went 6 shutout.
I think so. I don't remember.
And then you went no hitter. So 2 great starts, and then you had all like bombarded with media, bombarded with everything, right? That you haven't experienced.
No, gosh, that was that was definitely out of the ordinary.
Which is just and it's. For I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of requests that you had, and then to come out and pitch again and like go through and have another great outing. It's like that part of it is the mental challenge of going out.
It's crazy. We talked about like baseball is so weird because I thought I actually had better stuff and probably was a little sharper the last outing and gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. Like baseball is just weird like that.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
I thought it was funny that the first hit you gave up after it was a homer. Was it, like,
an absolute nuke, by the way. I didn't even watch it leave the stadium. And you know what's funny? That home run was way gone. Still was probably 50 feet short of where Sano's ball landed later in that game.
Good Lord.
The ball that Sano hit was as soon as it came off the bat, nobody moved.
That's one where you're like... Got me.
So I didn't even watch the first homer because it was like, well, that's way gone. Don't need to watch it. Sano hit it, and I turned because I'm like, I want to see where that thing lands. Like, I was like, oh my God.
So, Mills, the Compound is a huge fluff podcast. So if you come
fluff
on,
is huge.
We believe in fluffs.
And you can fluff yourself. So how many times have you watched part of your no hitter?
That's a great question.
I always watch like the full outing, every pitch on our IV program after every start, usually the next day, probably at the field. So obviously I did that. But
that's an extreme fluff. Just going through 27 outs.
Oh yeah.
I did that. No hits.
And, I probably watched, I would say definitely the last, like obviously the last play with Javi, hearing the calls and stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Like how many angles did you like? Every media outlet did you hear?
Yeah,
every,
I mean, I probably heard slash saw that last call probably, I don't know, 100 times. Like, not even trying to. It just kept like popping up and seeing it. Like,
I would have looked it up in Spanish if I were you. I don't care. I wouldn't either.
That's a good idea because, you know, that was probably an insane call.
And how about Mills? I text him and obviously he's bombarded, but like says thanks. And then he asks how I'm doing with Tigers. I'm like, Mills, this isn't about you.
Like, no, it is. Like,
I hope you're still on cloud 9. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Congrats.
It's absolutely about you, man. Who cares?
No. That's why he's the best of all time.
No, you know what was bullshit, Mills, is how long it took you to text me and see right back. I said I need to be response after your parents and your wife.
You know, I probably text you, what, an hour and a half after maybe?
At least.
You're upset about 90 minutes after the guy throws a no-no?
No, legitimately, the bus time hinged on me. They were waiting for the bus time because I was like, had to go through all that. And I answered probably half an hour media, which, by the way, I've never answered more than 3 questions from the media. So
we were waiting for at least 15 minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes to give him a beer shower.
I know. Well, so Peter, our PR guy, he's like, hey, do you want to do this now? Like, I'm like, I mean, yeah, I want to do it now. Like, I'm not going to wait. And so, yeah, I felt kind of bad. You guys were waiting in there a while.
Yeah.
They kept asking questions.
Don't feel bad. No.
That was your day.
When I was over, I could not wait to get in there. Like, that was definitely cool.
It's like your birthday. It's your day.
Yeah.
And like I said, in Milwaukee, we're what, 6 steps from it? So, like, I get to the dugout, and I can hear him in there. He's coming. So that was pretty funny.
I feel like the only weird part about the no-hitter was I feel like there wasn't really like that one play that anyone made, like maybe Haps in the second.
I was going
like,
to say, what do you mean? The signature play was Haps, huh?
But that's one, if you don't catch it, I'm like, what are we doing out there? Like,
no, I think, I mean,
You know what's awesome is getting the signature play of a no-hitter and it just being like running down a ball, like not leaving your feet, like basically just running down a hard hit ball.
I think if it happened in the obviously eighth or ninth inning compared to the second, it would have been
magnitude is definitely much more. Too.
It also would have been Billy Hamilton camped. So,
by the way, that ball he ran down tonight. Are you kidding me?
Oh my god, this guy Billy Hamilton. Did you guys watch the game? Billy Hamilton ran down two balls in the eighth inning, I believe, where. Yeah. It was like he was floating.
I saw they said like stat cast probability like 25% catch, and usually that's like a dive. He did it running, standing up.
I was like, yeah, I'd catch those two guys.
The right center was one that I was just like, he should not have gotten there that easy.
No, that was the one. Yeah, like that's the one I was talking about. Yeah, there wasn't a right center. It was absurd. Just,
yeah, without
no, but yeah, I mean, I think Hap's ball to center was a really good play.
Bodie made a good play on Bodie Yelich. Made a good
play, yes. And then I think the other ball Yelich hit to Schwarb, really good read. That ball was on a line and pretty low. The catch didn't look hard, but I think that read is definitely undervalued.
And there was another one.
Jay Hayes made a good play early.
There was a bang bang with, I think Javi made a play with Garcia, maybe.
He like rolled up his wrist and didn't get it right out of the glove. So he had to double pump, and that was definitely bang bang.
Yeah, that was before I knew what was happening. That was before I knew it was a no hitter.
We would have given that an error, though. It's all right.
You know what goes through your head when you're in the outfield is, what can I do to make sure that it's an error and not a hit? If I just run into the ball, will they give it an error and not a hit? Like,
Javi said the same thing. So he said after the last play, he said once he saw it got through, he's like, I was going to fall on the ground and let it hit me before it got through. Like, yeah. He was like, I was going to make sure it was an error before it was a hit.
Yeah, you're just looking at the press box.
Did you know he was shifted up the middle when the ball?
No. When he hit it, I thought it was a hit. You can see. Plus, the thing is, I think it got by me, and I was like, "Oh, hit!" And then, "Oh no, it's not." Hobby's right there, and I should have known he was shifted a little bit. It was a lefty.
You know what? We should touch on real quick is there's two guys in the locker room that have no hitters. Can you name the other one?
John Lester.
I was gonna say that. I feel like it's a pretty easy one.
It is Johnny Lester.
It's got to be trickier than that. It's just like, ugh. I thought it was going to be like Kimbrell used to start in college and he hasn't been here.
That would have been cool.
John threw it in 08.
Early on in his career, right?
Oh, wait, yeah.
Who's the lefty first baseman for the Cubs to hit 20 home runs?
Mills had to go to John to figure out how to engrave the back of his no-hitter watch.
I did. It was like, okay, so... Yeah, I'm getting. I want to get Vic something, obviously, and
that's the tradition. Like the tradition is, if you throw a no hitter, you get yourself a watch, and then you get your catcher a watch.
So, like, I like how you say that's a tradition. Like it's like this common known. Like,
it is common known. Well, you should know that.
I guess if you
have that, Dakota.
Well, you know how we knew was because John Lester, who had thrown a no hitter, told us. How John knew was Wakefield told him.
Yeah, I think it's just a pass down thing.
So, Mills, you're going to have to tell C-Ray when he throws one next year.
Absolutely. 100%. I will. But no, I think I would. Yeah, it was like, what should I inscribe on this? He's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, I don't know. I've never thrown a no hitter. And so he actually contacted Lester, and Lester sent a picture of his.
Yeah, I had to get John to send a picture to try to figure out what actually goes on the back of a no hitter watch.
So, what goes on the back of it?
Well, so Lester's just said Lester no hitter and the date. No,
and the opponent.
Yeah, so that's what mine says. So Mills versus the Brewers and the date, no hitter.
Are you going to wear that watch, or is it more of a like showcase watch?
I mean, I think it'll definitely be a showcase, but I think that's a watch you wear for sure.
I would wear that. 100%. I would rock it.
Like
100%.
I think nice events like weddings, you know, maybe even a nice seafood dinner. You know, I think it's where you go. I think you wear that watch, right?
Maybe if you go get some margs.
I mean, hey, don't put a couple margs in Millsy. I tell you what,
the watch that you got for Vic was this is pretty cool because we're in Pittsburgh, so it all ties in. But the watch he got for Vic, because Vic's from Puerto Rico and he wore 21 on Roberto Clemente Day. Orris did this like tribute watch to Roberto Clemente, and you got him the tribute watch. It was like. Limited to 3,000 pieces because Roberto Clemente had 3,000 hits, has his like insignia on the back and this really cool thing. So I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah, no. So I looked on the Orris website and it was like, that was the first thing. I think it was like a pop-up on the website was the Roberto. And I was like, do you believe in signs? Like, that's unbelievable. That's exactly like I saw it. And I was like, that's really cool. I need to have that. But then I show or but then it showed the back of the watch, and the back of the watch is where, you know, the special Roberto Clemente like engraving. It's like, I think it's like a picture of him, and then it's a number.
Yeah.
And so I was like, dang, man, I don't think I can engrave that, which I was, you know, I should have just been like, whatever, who needs an engraving? That's a really cool watch. But they actually, they were able to hook it up. They found a spot to put it on there, and it looks really, really good. So hopefully Vic likes it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Did you do it like right away?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think we had an off day the next day, and then I think started the process. Maybe even that night. Yeah.
Yeah. 24.
I think for me, it was like, we have how many? I mean, we had 13 games left. So it was like, I kind of want to do this before we leave. So yeah. And they actually, I mean, they got it to us in 2 days.
Before
we already got them.
Yeah. So we got them already. Yeah.
Wow. That's sick.
And they look really cool, and they did an awesome job. So.
That's pretty cool. You had an off day the next day, so you really got to soak it all in.
Yeah, and it was actually nice because I had interviews until probably noon or one, so I was able to knock those out, so that was cool.
Only Carter was old enough to be able to realize what you did, you know?
I know. Well, so it's one of the coolest moments of the day, and this may be, you know, nerdy dad moment, but so they actually met, well, Paige and Carter actually met me like a couple blocks from the bus because we took the bus home and I walk home, and yeah, I actually, he saw me from like a block away and started smiling. So that was the first thing I saw was him smiling at me. So
that's incredible.
And he had his little Mills jersey on. It's still a little bit too big because I think the smallest size you can get is like 18 months. So, but no, that was actually a really cool moment. So they came and met me, and then we had Pequod's pizza.
You had pizza, right?
Also, no free ads.
Chicago style.
No free ads, but Mills shouted out Pequod's in what interview? Like ESPN or?
Well, in the post game, but then, I think so.
He's just shouting out pizza places. He obviously hasn't been listening to the pod announcements. No free ads.
I saw it in like 20 different tweets. I was like, is this place like heaven sent? Like,
well,
I don't
know. So I think Mills actually
got a fire his PR team for that one.
Well, no, listen, crazy timing. I think like, I don't know what website or anything. They came out with an article like two or 3 days later. Pequod's was number two pizza in America, according to this article.
Pequod. So, for like Chicago style deep dish, there's like the like Luminati's and
Giordano,
like the places that are supposed to be the Chicago deep dish kings. Pequod's, from what I've heard,
is
supposed to be a little bit different, maybe a little bit better. But maybe people love it.
Also, it was better. It may have been better 2 days later, to be honest with you. It was incredible.
You know what's sad is that you couldn't finish it in one night.
Okay.
The no hitter changed you.
Okay.
No. Don't listen to him, Mills. He sends me a text the other day.
We don't need to bring this up.
No, I'm bringing it up.
No, I'm bringing up something else.
Somebody
too.
Changing, Mills. He said, I just ordered $30 worth of Domino's. I was like, oh, yeah, I love it. Like,
it was
back. And he goes, yeah, none of it was pizza. What?
Hey, Mekas, can we please share your typical McDonald's Uber Eats order, please?
You can't say it's typical. It was a one-time thing.
I don't believe you for a second that it was a one-time thing.
I'd like to hear it.
I got like two McChickens, two McDoubles, no pickle, no onion, and two McFlurries.
No. It was two Sundays, one hot fudge, one caramel. He wanted to get one of each.
I couldn't decide. I was like, you know what? Let's get both. Let's treat ourselves.
That's still one of the most unbelievable things. I loved it that night. And I'm like, did you get a Sunday for someone else? And he's like, no, absolutely not. They're both for me. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And I pounded them both with ease. I was like, man, this is good stuff. No, I'm not a Domino's pizza fan. Like if I'm going to get pizza from like one of the like chain places, it's going to be Pizza Hut or Papa John's.
No free ads.
Also no free ads. Mekas, how many breadsticks could you crush from Olive Garden in one sitting?
No, I could eat nine.
It went double digits. Don't lie to me.
No, I cut myself off at nine, so you couldn't say I ate double digit.
Mills, how did you like your cut shirt? Have you tried it yet?
I actually wore it like, I think I wore it to the field the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it fit?
It was incredible. So it actually fit great. Like not too tight on the body, but tight on the arms. Made me feel kind of strong.
Love that.
Stop. Don't even, Zach. Zach,
is that
says,
what he said too?
That is basically exactly what I say. I said it's tight, but it's not tight.
He goes, it's casual, but it's...
And then it's got a hood.
Zach, go ahead and promo Cuts. Just give your promo.
Athletic, but not...
I forgot what I said.
It's casual, but not casual.
Bill said it perfect. Loose. Bill said it perfect. You know, it's tight, but it's not tight. It's athletic, but it's not. You know, you can wear it out. You can wear it to the field, and you look pro. You can wear it with sweatpants, and you look like, oh, yeah, that's a great outfit.
I'm surprised you're not the spokesperson for Cuts with all that you're spewing.
I mean, did you not hear what Mills literally just said?
I mean, it's like you could wear it while you're giving your son a bottle, or you could wear it at the bar and pick up chicks, you know? I think it's
Thank you.
Both ways. Look at that.
Wait, if I have a son, why am I at the bar picking up
chicks? No, that's what I said.
But that's why it works for so many different people.
Oh, that's funny.
But don't forget, promo code COMPOUND gets you 15% off Cuts.
That's right.
And also, guys that throw no-hitters drink Parse Rum after they throw no-hitters.
Absolutely.
I've heard that.
Dakota, what else does Parse Rum do?
It plants a tree for every bottle sold.
Yes, it does.
Ooh, I did
Yes, read that on it does.
I did read that.
We save the earth with every bottle.
Straight from Colombia.
Sorry. Oops, sorry. We're saving the earth. Our bad.
I did an interview the other day with Marquee, Taylor McGregor from Marquee, and she finished the interview by talking about Parse Rum. People just love Parse Rum.
You know what I need, though? You know what I'm done? I'm done watching the game on Sunday Night Baseball and them asking you all these questions, and it's me and Zach just are nowhere to be found. It's just Ian Happ talking by himself.
I'd honestly rather that because the people who listen to the Compound every week know what it's about.
That's right.
You know, I don't want A-Rod getting in on it.
You don't want A-Rod? Is that what we don't want?
Do you want to say that out loud? Did you say that on air? I don't know. You may want to retract that.
Honestly, A-Rod said he would come on the podcast. I don't know if he actually would or not. But
No. See, that's where you guys are wrong. He's competition.
Great point. The other thing that I have to say on our show, because I can be honest on our show, is you can't hear anything with the thing that's in your ear. They're like, when you listen to or watch the broadcast on ESPN, it's A-Rod and Vasgersian are like super clear. And you would think that like in my ear, it's the same thing. I couldn't hear anything because I have this little earpiece in and I have the fake crowd noise behind me and the music blaring. And so Vasgersian or A-Rod was like, when are you going to have Matt Vasgersian on the Compound or on your podcast? And I said, who? Because I couldn't hear him. And they were like, oh my God, you don't know who Matt Vasgersian is. I was like, no, no, no. I know exactly who Matt Vasgersian is. I just couldn't hear because it was the middle of the crowd noise cheering for Darvish throwing a strike.
The best part was, though, is you said who, and A-Rod goes, exactly. Or no, Vasgersian goes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I heard him say exactly. And I heard A-Rod say like, Matt, Vasgersian, and I was like, no, no, no. Like, you can be on our podcast anytime. Like, he's the voice of MLB The Show. Every time he talks, I feel like I'm playing the show. So we have, besides no-hitter guest Alec Mills, we have Matt Vasgersian, A-Rod, and Big Cat lined up.
Allegedly.
You're welcome.
Competition. Get it through your head.
They're allegedly lined up.
You know, I was actually in the locker room when they were, like, doing the sound check on you, and they were like, hey, Happer, can you hear me? And it was funny because you were like, guys, I'm being honest, can't hear you. The music's getting really loud. And they didn't say anything. They're like, okay. And then they went, I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess they think it's going to work.
I was like, guys, got to be honest, can't hear you that well.
I texted Dakota in the first inning. I was like, I think Haps mic'd up. I didn't know if it was for Marquee or for ESPN.
Was that for the whole game?
Is that the end of your story, Zach? I think I was mic'd for the whole – my mic was hot. I think I unplugged it in like ninth. My mic was hot the whole game.
But they just talked to you.
For two halves.
Yeah. I would never – be good with them mic'd up for the whole game.
I feel like if something slips, you know,
yeah, the Cubs
they do a pretty good job of not letting
the Cubs have to approve everything that goes out. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you know,
you trust Peter to if you say because there was a lot of things that I said.
That's right, a lot of gosh darns and shoots.
Yeah, going 0-for-4, 1-for-5 every day.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, Ian was struggling at the time, and I don't think he would have been saying very nice things about
it. No.
Hitting's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great. I'm sure they picked up some of the stuff I was saying in the seventh or eighth inning of that game, just talking to yourself in center field.
So much fun watching like the raw tape of that and just laughing at guys motherfucking themselves.
Just over and over and over again. Mills is going to be our first guest to ever do a full episode with us.
Let's check the screen time.
Oh, screen time.
You guys are not going to be proud of my screen time. Oh my God. It's over here. Let me get it.
I bet his is low, though. I bet he doesn't even.
I really hope he has his on.
He's a dad husband.
Because Mill sits in his locker like before games and stuff and just stares at his phone sometimes.
Oh, no. Mine, if it's on, I'm not going to be proud of my time. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know settings? How to get to it. Settings?
Mine's 656.
Ooh. Dakota?
728 with an hour 7 on TikTok.
728? Mills, go ahead.
I thought mine was terrible. You guys are depressing. Mine's 6 hours, 37 minutes.
All right.
Dang it.
Mine's 345. So you guys can't tell me, like, oh, you played a game today. Mills is 637.
He's a pitcher. He has way less.
Sense. I didn't play a game today.
Yeah, but he was still watching the game. He wasn't on his phone during the game. Yeah.
You can't be on your phone during the game.
No. Pitchers never go in the locker room.
You can't be on your phone during
the
game.
You can't. We have MLB security fighting us if we even look at our phone.
You can't look at your phone in the game anymore. That makes it even more depressing that I was on my phone for 6.5 hours.
I'm sure you just don't go to the bathroom and do it anyway. Seriously, I know there's no loopholes there.
No, really. I believe you.
Go to the bathroom and close the door on the stall and sit on it with your pants all the way up still.
I would do it.
No, really. I believe you.
Seriously.
God, that makes me hurt a little bit after seeing that.
That's wonderful screen times, guys.
That's why, see, I don't even like looking at it. Like, I looked at mine on Sunday. It was 9.5. Like, that's not fun to look at.
And the best part is that Dakota cheats the system, too.
I don't cheat. He says because I play video games, it's so cheating.
Like, I don't have video games, so I'm on my phone, and Dakota substitute his phone for his video games, and then that all gets messed up. So he'll have, like, 2 hours, but he was on playing video games for 12 hours.
Do you guys have anything else for the viewers, Dakota?
Like, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Go watch the highlights of Alec Mills' no-hitter.
Wow.
Dang it.
Wow.
You all right? You had a little bit too much parse over there? How you doing?
No. I got to throw in 9 hours.
9 hours, sick.
Do you have any parse?
That's big. Big episode 30 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Definitely not coming to you live from the compound because we're in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Mills, for joining us.
Thank you, Mills.
You're the first guest to do a full episode. The Compound.